All right, what a blessing to share this time with all of you, my friends. And, you know, Pastor Terry here, we're starting into our new series, Advance. And really, the idea behind this new series is that we're called to move forward in our faith, to be a people on the grow. That because of the living Jesus living in us, I'm talking about the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us, right? In fact, that's what we're told. That if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, this is Romans 8, dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. And it's just a great reminder that our dominant hope and mindset should be one of faith and optimism, right? Even when things aren't easy, or as we shall see in the coming weeks, even when things don't make sense, or are deeply disappointing. We're told in 2 Peter 3:18, and this is a great reminder as well, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can grow in grace and in knowledge. To him, we're told, be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let it be so. You know, to sign on with Jesus, which many of us have done, and if you haven't done it, I want you to, is to sign on for the growing life. And it's not really about comparison. It's about advancing with what we've been given. You see, in Jesus's teaching, for example, in the parable of the talents, he made it clear it wasn't really about whether we have been given one, two, or five. It's what we do with what we have. Remember, the one who got in trouble was actually the one who buried his talent. That's what's really at stake here. We got to be careful not to bury our entrustment. Make sure that we're not coasting, but rather that we're contending. Notice the goal of our spiritual growth is to bring him glory, even as Jesus sought to glorify the Father. What's more, we're called to grow in two very specific ways, and I alluded to this earlier, to grow, as Peter tells us, in grace. We can grow in grace and to grow in knowledge. Now, what does that even mean? How do we do it? In this context, grace means learning how to walk in the power of his love, how to live in that love. It's talking about how we can utilize his strength and might so that we might say with the great apostle, Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can go through anything. That's what Paul was saying. In Philippians 4, he says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. None of these things move me. I'm crucified with Christ, the apostle would write in his letter to the Galatians. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the one who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, growing in grace involves practicing Christ reliance, leaning into him, especially when we're afraid, unsettled, or troubled of soul, or unsure of ourselves. And we learn how to lean into Jesus. We learn how to trim our sails and catch the wind of the Spirit by putting it into practice. Right? That's how we grow in grace, right? But also we're told to grow in knowledge. Now, our knowledge base can be expanded through effort and discipline, which is at the core of what it actually means to be a disciple. Think about it, disciple discipline. We can definitely grow in our understanding of the Christian life through studying our Bible, through devotions and small group discussions and prayer and, through the disciplines of serving and giving and gathering, which is coming to church, engaging it like we're doing even now. But the sense here is more than just the acquisition of information and understanding. The knowledge that the Apostle Peter is talking about is actually experiential. It's growing in our relationship with the Lord as much as it is in terms of our understanding. It's learning how to love God and live as one love. Like the prodigal son, just experience the embrace of the Father. It's learning how to hear and follow. Did not Jesus say, my sheep, they know my voice. My sheep hear my voice and another they will not follow. So it's not just learning about how to follow Jesus, it's learning about what not to follow. In 1 Corinthians 14:20, the Apostle Paul wrote, brothers, do not be children in your thinking, be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. In evil, be unlearned. Be novice, not gullible, but innocent, gentle, pure, unpracticed in the ways of evil. for some of us, that was our past, right? We cavorted, we went with the crowd, we did great damage to ourselves and others. And maybe some of us are still struggling with that now. There's grace for you. You're so loved. But in Ephesians 5, we're told, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, and take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Like, don't live in a secret place. And this takes us, of course, back to that 1 Corinthians 14. But in the practice of godliness, be mature, be expert, sharp, and aware, filled with wisdom from above. When it comes to evil and wrongdoing, be innocent. When it comes to wisdom, let's grow and be learned. So we're to contend for holiness, but also resiliency. Yeah. Because a lot of our spiritual growth will be connected to managing life's adversities and disappointments. Remember that. Sometimes we're invited to walk in faith, hope, and trust, even when things are seemingly hopeless or beyond repair. Now, I understand, and I do understand, loss is not easy. It's easy to get lost in our loss. I'll say it again. It's easy to get lost in our loss. How do we negotiate seasons of loss? How do we adjust to new realities without giving up or giving in? How do we stay optimistic when our dream is defeated? How do we stay positive when we're in pain? How do we move forward when life seems to be moving backward? How do we advance when part of us wants to quit, give up, retreat, or run away? You know, these are some of the things I want us to wrestle with. And the scripture has so much to help us, to teach us about in regards to this. And for the next few weeks, I'd like to sit with it and enter into a conversation with God, like all of us do that, by looking at what literally happened when Jesus, after his death and resurrection, engaged two of his disillusioned disciples in an unforgettable conversation on the road to Emmaus. The incident is found only in Luke's gospel, the 24th chapter. And it's just incredible. It's fantastic. So much for us there. And I'm excited to use it as a liftoff for this post-Easter series advance. But we must remember, just want to reset this, that after Jesus' resurrection, it wasn't clear to many that he was alive. I mean, the death of Jesus had been emphatic and devastating. Rumors were swirling around that he was alive, but they seemed like fanciful tales invented by people who were well-meaning but honestly delusional. Remember, when Mary Magdalene and the women who had been to the tomb told them what they had heard and seen about Jesus being alive, what was the reaction? We read about it. It says their words seemed like nonsense to the disciples, and they did not believe the women. Right? They should have. You know, the disciples thought they were delusional. You know, it's like, oh man, some of us may be familiar with the social media term delulu. Recently, I was reading an article talking about this trendy new word. I wasn't aware of it. But delulus, that's online shorthand for delusional. It's a little out of context because online shorthand for someone who is taking a leap, usually for what seems far beyond reach or sensibility, especially in a career context, like applying for a job or a position you are totally unqualified for, but you're going to go for it anyway. So it's kind of like, all right, it's a little bit delusional, but hey, why not? So it's being bold and daring and fearless, even though it's a long shot. Some people actually succeed through hard work, effort, and daring. Most don't, but usually feel empowered and more confident to face life better because they push past their fears and gave it a shot, which has given rise to another social media phrase. Now, just stay with me here. That phrase is delulu is the solulu. And I'm not joking. It's a thing. You look it up, right? It's the solution because it stretches us and we never hit what we don't go for. But the disciples were on the road really did think it was fanciful. They thought it was delusional. They believed Jesus of Nazareth was finished, a sad victim on a Roman cross, a good man, a great man, but also a tragically mistaken man. Because he had claimed to be God's son, the Messiah, the promised one, but he died shamefully on a tree, naked, and in the end alone, leaving his followers in free fall. Or so it seemed. And let's be honest, that's where the Jesus movement should have ended if, and it's a big if, he had not risen from the grave. Indeed, as the scripture says, if Christ be not risen, then our faith is in vain. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, though people were saying he was alive, the disciples who had seen him die didn't believe it. But the rising of Jesus, it changed everything. And the two friends on the road, and we're going to look at them, are about to learn this. Their world is about to be turned upside down one more time. The great reversal, I'm going to call it heavenly judo, right? Heavenly judo. The reality of Jesus' resurrection reminds us that we can advance in our faith first into life with extreme confidence, hope, and optimism and resiliency, that we can face things, we can deal with things, we can overcome things, we can grow, we can change, we can improve. That's what I'm saying to all of us, you guys. We can. And again, why? It goes back to the top, because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead abides in us. If you've received Jesus, and I pray that you have, the Spirit of Christ lives in you. And if you haven't, man, come on. It's the best thing ever. It also means we can advance unafraid into every season of our lives. Some of you are young, you're young parents. Some of you are new in your careers. Some of us are in midlife, advancing years for others of us. And our days on earth seem like they're not long. And the next life, the new life is near. But what I want to say is that in every season, he is the reason for moving forward. No delay. Today is the day. Press in, press on, not resting on our laurels, living in the past, or afraid of tomorrow. Again, just thinking about where we are in our life stage. Mentioned how some of us maybe we're younger in life, and young parents, I think, are the most tired of all sometimes, especially if you're working and you're trying to take care of a home and stay in love with each other. It can be a challenge to move forward in our faith at that stage in our life. Some of us are trying to forge out a career path, and that can be confusing and hard. And listen, the Lord will fill us with grace in both of those places if we will lean into him and give him the gift of our youth or our years of strength and seek him for all that we need this time. He'll give it to us. Others of us, we're in that midlife place. And we're evaluating things. And maybe we are in that last quarter season, or at least it looks like it, or we're getting near it. But this midlife place is often a time for reevaluating what we really value and recommitting ourselves in fresh new ways. Sometimes it has a lot to do with negotiating loss and figuring out how I can deal with that redemptively and stay on the growing path. How do we keep advancing? How do we keep moving forward with our faith in the middle spaces of life? Oftentimes, it's in these places where we let go of things. Remember, you know, be innocent when it comes to evil. Like we let things go that are destructive and harmful, and we begin to hold on tightly to the things that are good, wise, from above. And then, of course, some of us were maybe in our winter years, and we too, you know, there might be a temptation in the winter years to quit growing because we feel our strength evaporating from us. And there is a part of us that does long for home and renewal and new beginning. And that promise will be yours. It is yours in Christ. It is. And I do believe that one of the great gifts that God gives us in this Easter season that we're moving out of and in, and now into this post-Easter season where we are celebrating the life of Christ is the promise of tomorrow and a new body. Wow. And a new mind, a renewed mind, an expanded mind. These are two great promises. Renewal of body that the heavenly body in some ways is a renewal of this one, but better. Like all the things that people are yearning for are promised in Christ. And the idea of an expansive mind and understanding, you want to talk about ultimate knowledge and wisdom. I mean, that is a great promise for us. But if we're not there yet, that means we have something to contribute. Remember, we talked about the talents and being careful about burying them. And in the story that Jesus gave, it was the person who had been given one talent that was most in peril because sometimes we feel like, well, I have so little, so what difference will it make? Hey, prayers make a difference. Small acts of service make a difference. Small giving makes a difference. Let's not underestimate the example we have. So wherever we are in life, whatever season of life we're in, if we're in our younger years, and the Lord, you know, nothing is promised, but relatively speaking, if we're in the younger season of our life, let's honor God. Let's be careful to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord so that we don't make foolish mistakes. If we're in those middle years, there's no time to waste. It's time to advance, time to put into play what God's given us. Remember, when it comes to the kingdom of Jesus, there is no real retirement. It's just a different assignment. And if we're in the older space of life, let's live as a people of optimism and hope, even as sometimes loss becomes even more of a reality for us. My prayer for all of us is that we would advance, grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ Jesus, that we would indeed press on, never quit, never give up, full speed ahead in Jesus, right? Come on, you're so loved. I'm gonna come back around. We're gonna share a song right now. And then I'll come back and I'll close this out. So here we go.
What holds your heart? What stirs your soul? What matters comes to mind? The cares you keep, the thoughts you think, it's not all wasted time. Seek and you will find.
Let everything praise the Lord.
We want to live a life of faith and a life of trust and a life of expansion. The inheritance that we all have as followers of Jesus is a life of growth. God invites us to advance, to move forward, to go and grow. Wherever we are, in whatever stage of life we find ourselves in, the Lord has something for us to contribute. Lord, help us not to get stuck. Help us not to get defeated. Help us not to give up or quit or to coast, but instead help us to contend. Help us to become the people, the men and the women that you died for us to become and allowed for us to become through your resurrection. We pray for more of your power at work in our lives, more of your grace and expanding knowledge. Living Jesus, live in us today. Yeah, this day, now and always. In your name we pray, amen.